the great good pleasure a couple of weeks ago to sit down with Father George Coyne for lunch. And Father George Coyne is a Jesuit priest, and also he was for many years the director of the Vatican Observatory, with headquarters both at Castel Gandolfo and in Tucson. So he's a Jesuit priest and also a formally trained astrophysicist and astronomer. So he's a great ambassador between the worlds of religion and science. And in fact, in many ways, his person is a refutation of those who say faith and reason or religion and science are just implacable enemies. I was especially interested in talking to Father Coyne because in a lot of my work in apologetics and evangelization, the issue of religion and science comes up all the time. Whether it's evolution or the Big Bang or intelligent design or biblical interpretation, it seems to many people that science just poses this insurmountable obstacle to classical religion. So I talked to Father Coyne about a number of things. We had a wide-ranging conversation, but two themes emerged that I want to talk about that I think are particularly important. The first one, and I have talked about it before in other videos, but it has to do with God's nature and God's relationship to the world. Father Coyne insisted that we make a huge mistake when we see God as one of the beings in the universe, as though God were a fussy, competitive cause among the many causes in the universe, as though God somehow finds his way among the planets and galaxies and particular causes, when in fact God is the creator of the universe, which means he's the one who brings the whole of the universe into being from nothing. Therefore, just as we'd say the architect, though he's influenced everything in the building, is not any part of the building. As we'd say, an author, though he's given rise to the whole novel, is not one of the characters in the novel. So God is not one of the things in the world. I'll give you an example. You know, how do you explain the emergence of a planet? Well, you wouldn't say, oh, it's the detritus of a star, God, hydrogen gas, and gravity. You wouldn't say God is one of those particular causes. No, you'd explain it mechanistically, according to finite causes. God is the answer to a different type of question. God's the answer to the question, why is there something rather than nothing? Not the question, how do things particularly work? This insight of Father Coyne's helps us to understand why, for example, the intelligent design view is problematic. Intelligent design would say that at certain points in the evolutionary process, God intervenes to fine-tune the process. Well, again, that's not only superfluous science, it's insulting to God. It makes God into one little competitive cause among many. And by the same token, it shows why the so-called new atheists are wrong when they say, look, we've examined the mechanics of the universe and there's no need for God. Again, they're assuming the wrong thing about God. They're not going to find him by asking that kind of question or looking in that place. Both the intelligent design advocates, on the one hand, and the new atheists, on the other, are suffering from a very poor understanding of God. Now, this leads to a second major question and concern. Once we clarify this, well, then we say, well, how does God relate to the cosmos? Here's Father Coyne's answer. He says the universe should be seen as a kind of icon of God. He puts a great stress on what he calls the fertility of the cosmos, how kind of fecund and effervescent and lively the universe is. There are, for example, 100 billion galaxies in the universe, each one of which contains around 100 billion stars. Therefore, there are 10 to the 23rd power stars in the universe. That's a universe that is far richer and more complex than Aristotle, or for that matter, Isaac Newton ever imagined. We see how rich and grand the universe is. But more to it, there's a kind of astral evolution that mimics biological evolution that we can see here on Earth. What I mean is, as the stars rise and fall and then give rise to new generations of stars, they're moving in the direction of greater complexity, greater diversity, greater atomic weight. So there's a kind of directionality to the cosmos, moving in the direction of ever greater complexity, variety, and creativity. In this sense, we can see what the psalmist meant when he said, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. Not that God's fussily intervening in the cosmos, but rather the cosmos as a whole, in its richness and creativity, is an iconic representation of God. I think that's a wonderful way to to imagine the God-world relationship. I'm especially grateful to talk to Father Coyne because I think he and his colleagues show, amidst all the rancor of the religion-science debate, that there really is a creative way forward.